Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school hall or a church. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend or family member, or a charity. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. There's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Tonight was the final Monday Night Raw on the road to Survivor Series. A little weird since SmackDown this Friday has already been taped for days. A night where the heels won the man advantage in War Games, which is what you would expect typically heading into a War Games match. It's a little weird when the babyfaces have the advantage. So no real surprise there. And also, Brock Lesnar fell on his ass at the end of the show tonight. Yes, we had, this was honestly, when I saw this, this made my night. This was his Shockmaster moment. We got the Brockmaster tonight. The Brockmaster was the best part of the entire show. And you know, I never thought that they would bring back Brock Lesnar and he would be the best comic relief on the show. But here we are. First, he splits his pants on SmackDown. Now he's falling down on his ass on Raw. But at least he rolled with it. He came out to make his entrance here during the main event, and Paul Heyman is standing right next to him, and his pyro's about to go off, and he goes, and he slips on his fucking cowboy boots, and he does a complete back roll. And to his credit, he popped right back up on his feet, and he laughed it off, because really, in that situation, what the fuck are you supposed to do? I mean, if you can't laugh at yourself, I mean, what are you supposed to do in that situation? So as soon as I saw that, I said, okay, before I do anything else here, I have to go ahead and mock up the Brockmaster. Yes, that's best believe that's going to be Super Chat after tonight. So that was how they went off the air tonight, with Brock falling on his ass, coming down to the ring after that with his teammates, and then they had the obligatory big brawl here to end the show like they do. Yeah, before a Royal Rumble, typically you get a bunch of people out there and they have a big brawl in the middle of the ring. This was their last real hard sell for the men's and the women's War Games matches this weekend. We had the women's teams having a confrontation in the middle of the ring. They had a brawl as well. Not a particularly great one, but they had a brawl. We had a back and forth. Not even really a back and forth because Becky Lynch spoke first. Then the babyfaces came out. But AJ Lee, I got some promo time for the first time in a long time here on the show. And, you know, going into these War Games matches now that we... And forget SmackDown on Friday. I mean, seeing the spoilers, the tape show, not a big deal. But now that I have seen all that there is to see, and we know the situation and who's going to have the advantage, at least on the men's side, I won't spoil who's going to get the advantage on the women's side for those of you who haven't, seen it, or you want to wait to watch the show on Friday. The key thing here is that there is a lot of star power in these matches. You know, they got AJ Lee in her first War Games match. You got Brock Lesnar in his first War Games match. You've got on the babyface side, on the men's team alone, you've got Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns and CM Punk, right? And on the other side, you've got Brock and you've got Drew McIntyre. And then on the women's side, Rhea Ripley and Charlotte and AJ and Becky. So definitely some big names in these matches. On the babyface side, men's wise, there are people that are in the match that make sense. Cody Rhodes is the most prominent one who really stands out. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And it was one of those situations where they wanted him on the show. They needed something for him to do. And so they decided to shoehorn him into the War Games match, where he really doesn't have a specified role. You know, once Cody was announced for the match, you knew Drew McIntyre would follow. But Roman Reigns, right? He has been attacked by the Vision, so it makes sense why he would want to be in that match. The Usos have been feuding with the Vision. It makes sense why they would be in there. CM Punk, same thing. Cody just feels very shoehorned in there, even though on Friday he cut this short but incredible babyface promo to really sell the match. So that's one of my only real issues with the match on the men's side. And on the women's side, look, you know, they're Lash Legend. This is her big, you know, PLE debut here in WWE. So I'm sure she'll have a good showing in that match. Nia Jax had a very forgettable showing in the one last year. Becky and AJ have had issues for a few months. So obviously, you know, having them on opposing sides makes sense. But it's just one of those years where you look at this and go, does it really feel like there is a hot issue? On the men's side or the women's side, frankly, maybe more so the women's side, but a real issue that necessitates war games. And that'll be a question that gets debated by people. And should they be doing war games every year? No, they shouldn't. And they really should reserve it for those occasions where it feels like, okay, we need a war games this year. And I'm not so sure that this year falls under that category. But the one thing you can't say about these two matches is that they don't have star power in them. They absolutely do. But we also have to turn to a different subject, because War Games is not the only thing happening at Survivor Series. John Cena will be on the show. It will be his final Survivor Series, and he will be defending the Intercontinental title against Dominic Mysterio. John Cena was not on the show tonight. A version of John Cena was on the show tonight. John Cena himself was not on the show tonight. But they're running this tournament, because after this Saturday, he's got one appearance left. And that last appearance will be his final match. That is coming up on December 13th. So right now, we are in the middle of this Last Time Is Now tournament. And today, we had two more matches in the tournament, two quarterfinal round matches, one of which had Gunther against Carmelo Hayes, who squeaked by with a countout win over Bronson Reed Friday night on SmackDown. And these two, now Gunther last week with Javon Evans, I mean, they had a killer match. My favorite match in the tournament so far, still, even after tonight, my favorite match in the tournament, Gunther and Javon from last week. But tonight, Gunther went out there with Carmelo Hayes, and they tore it up, and they had a very good match. The second best match. So Gunther's on a roll here in this tournament so far. And then we were supposed to have Solo Sikoa against Penta. And that is where everything fell apart. And it turned into a real disaster here in this tournament, especially given what we're left with now. Penta suffered an injury within the first 5 minutes of this match. And it was on a relatively simple maneuver, simple for Penta, where he came off the top of the barricade and did a Rana and took Solo down to the floor. Penta did not get up right away. And clearly he was in some degree of pain. There was something going on there, and the doctor rushed over. And they went to a commercial break, and when they came back, the referee called the match off, and Solo Sikoa was awarded the victory, which means in the semifinals of this tournament, to crown a final opponent for John Cena, next week we are going to be getting Gunther against Solo Sikoa. And obviously that's awful. I mean, forget heel against heel. Gunther against Penta is what we were supposed to get, right? Not a doubt in my mind, that was the match we were supposed to get. And now we're not getting it. And the bigger story here, obviously, is Penta. Because how hurt is he? I'm telling you, I mean, this tournament is cursed. I don't understand what is going on this year with this company and shoulder injuries. Like, in this tournament alone, we just lost Sheamus, who was supposed to advance, and then we found out has a shoulder injury and had to forfeit his spot in the tournament and wait until you find out who the replacement is on Friday. So Sheamus, shoulder injury, out of the tournament. Penta, shoulder injury, out of the tournament. Seth Rollins had to vacate his World Heavyweight Championship. Shoulder injury, surgery. Chad Gable, shoulder injury, surgery. Liv Morgan, shoulder injury, surgery. what is going on here? Like, this is insane. So it sucks for Penta. It sucks for the rest of us who were hoping to see Gunther and Penta in the next round. I will note to you that Brian Alvarez of F4W Online, he posted an update saying that the match was scheduled to go 12 minutes. Again, it didn't even go five. It was scheduled to go 12 minutes. Penta wanted to continue the match. He was not allowed to. He said that Penta wanted to try to, in his words, pop his shoulder back in, which would indicate a dislocation if that's the case, and the doctor would not allow it. And that is why they called off the match. I don't know if maybe that's a positive thing to indicate that it's not an overly serious injury, if it was simply, you know, a case where it got popped out of the socket. We'll have to wait and see exactly how serious the injury is. Hopefully it's nothing that's going to keep him out for an extended period of time or require surgery like, you know, all of these other people, which would be a worst case scenario. But even a best case scenario, he's out of the tournament, and I'm sure he's out of action for at least a little bit of time. And that really, really sucks. And look, injuries happen. This was not something that was planned for. You could even see Solo after the match was very unhappy. You know, and I'm sure not just because the match went off the rails and they couldn't do what they were planning on doing, but because he was upset that somebody got hurt. And he even cussed out a fan. I don't know what the fan said to him, but somebody obviously mouthed off to him in the crowd. He told him, fuck you, as he was walking out with Tala Tonga. So that's the update as far as the tournament and as far as Penta is concerned. Not a great situation. That really cast a dark cloud on this show tonight, especially as we now head into a Gunther and Solo Sikoa match on the show next week. Gee, I wonder who's going to the final. I mean, if we're being honest here, even if Penta would have advanced, we all know who's going to the finals of this tournament. We all know who is winning this tournament. There's really no great mystery to it. But that is a match that I cannot sit here and tell you I'm looking forward to. But shit happens, and the circumstances obviously dictate otherwise. This was not a great episode of Raw. I thought it was a very, you know, middling, run-of-the-mill episode. I mean, it wasn't, you know, terrible, but it wasn't great either. It was just like, eh. It was a very meh. That's what tonight's episode was. But we'll talk about all of it. This is your Monday Night Raw review. This review will not be meh. At least you could rely on that. It is Monday night. It is November 24th, 2025. I am the Sala Monster. Yeah, there's another implication here, by the way, of you know, what happens with this Penta injury that kind of sucks. I'll get into that a little bit later. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open, and I will be reading all of your messages here a little bit later on. In the stream, we have a special bonus goal. Should we hit it with some fun stuff in there? You could check the chat for that.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school hall or a church. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend or family member, or a charity. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. There's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Roman Reigns opened the show, telling OKC to acknowledge me. And that's all he got out before Cody Rhodes came out to join him or interrupt him, depending on how you want to look at it. Cody asked the crowd in OKC what they wanted to talk about. And Cody said that Roman is a man of his word. He said the last time Reigns gave him his word, it was for a match. But this is a war. And Cody asked, what's in it for Roman? See, if Roman wanted to be... Yeah, if he wanted to be 100 here, he would have looked at Cody and said, why are you here? Why are you here? What business do you have with the Vision? What business do you have with Logan Paul? But I guess we could say the same for Logan Paul. What business does Logan Paul have in War Games other than they have nothing else for him to do? But Roman said that he had been in the war that Cody was just joining. He said that he doesn't like Cody, Cody doesn't like him, and they don't even know each other that well. But neither one of them plays around when it comes to family. And he said half the team is his family. He said he's been invested in the Usos for a long time and would see that investment through. Cody told him, understood, then all I can say is welcome to my team. And he extended a hand to him. Reigns did not accept the handshake before CM Punk's music hit, and out comes the World Heavyweight Champion. Punk asked the crowd to acknowledge all three of them. This is an all-star War Games. He didn't need Roman's word because he saved his life in last year's War Games. Roman immediately shot back that Punk ruined his life 4 months later. Punk knew that gave Roman a reason to stab him in the back, but Punk was not worried because that would mean that Roman would be stabbing the Usos in the back. And he knows that, and he sarcastically said that Roman would never be mean to his own family or put them between a rock and a hard place. Cody tried to settle things down. Punk asked Cody, why did you refer to this as your team? Punk reminded him that this was his show. You could be the QB on Fridays, but on Mondays, I'm the champion. Roman said that Punk and Cody should just whip them out and start measuring. Is that allowed on Netflix? I don't know. I know it's not basic cable, but I don't think Netflix would like that very much. I agree. The Mentos theme song is still top tier of all time. There's no reason why that shouldn't be on TV today. I'm sorry. You can't tell me that you can't find an ad agency that can't rekindle that whole ad campaign and come up with a whole new slate of Mentos commercials. They would make a boatload of money. I don't know why they don't do them anymore. So Roman didn't care whose team it was. He said he hated Paul Heyman. He hated the Vision. Punk could count on the fact that Roman hated them more than he hated him. Roman left the ring, but not before saying that the title would look better on my shoulder. And as he's leaving, you could hear Punk in the background say, which title are you referring to? And Roman said, well, that's for you to figure out. Establishing some friction here between the three amigos, the three presumed team captains here in War Games. So that was the whole purpose of the segment here, was to establish some tension here as we head into Saturday. Are they going to be able to coexist? I mean, this is like the ultimate can they coexist situation, right? Can they coexist? Can they get along long enough to be able to beat the bad guys? Pretty basic stuff. Backstage, speaking of the bad guys, Paul Heyman is with his War Games team, all but Brock Lesnar, and he's begging Drew McIntyre to be on his best behavior tonight, because technically you're still suspended, and the only reason that you are allowed into this building is because I picked you to be on the War Games team. But if you do so much as yell boo at somebody, they're just looking for a reason to bounce you out of here. So please, be on your best behavior. He says there's going to be a tag team match tonight for the War Games advantage. Drew is going to be in it. Logan Paul suggested that Brock Lesnar should be Drew's partner. Heyman said, it's not going to be Brock Lesnar. And then Logan suggested Bron Breakker. Heyman said no. And then he suggested Bronson Reed, and Heyman said no. And this all led to the realization on Logan's face, I'm the partner. And Heyman said yes, and Logan called it a wise choice. So that set up our main event for tonight, where Drew and Logan, who weren't they partners at SummerSlam? They were, weren't they? It was Drew and Logan against Bad Bunny. And who was the other guy? I already forgot. But I think that was the SummerSlam match. Anyway, they would be in the main event tonight. In the first of two quarterfinal round matches in the John Cena Last Time Is Now tournament, we had Gunther against Carmelo Hayes, who got the big upset win over Bronson Reed. Randy Orton, thank you. Can you really blame me, though? Randy Orton has basically disappeared. He's vanished off the face of the earth now for months. Couldn't remember who Jelly Roll's partner was. Randy Orton. What's he doing these days? He's sitting back. He's just lounging out, having fun. He'll be watching war games from the comfort of his own couch this weekend with the missus. So Gunther held control through a commercial break. He cut off Hayes's comeback when they came back. When the show came back, not Carmelo. There was a few chants for Hayes in here. Gunther looked into the camera at one point and he questioned why he even had to wrestle him. He goes, what did he do to deserve this? What did he do to earn this spot? He's saying into the camera. Well, I mean, he beat Bronson Reed on Friday. Although I guess you could argue he really didn't beat Bronson Reed. It was more Cody Rhodes who beat Bronson Reed. But that's why he's here. Gunther tried for a powerbomb. Hayes, though, countered into a DDT. This led to a second commercial break. Hayes ducked a chop on the apron. Gunther's arm at that point hit the ring post. Hayes tried a slingshot DDT onto the apron, and they both basically fell to the ground. Gunther completely missed. He, like, grazed the apron on the way down, and they all splatted on the floor. Hayes followed with a flip dive and then backdropped Gunther into the timekeeper's area. Gunther was not about to let Hayes attempt a countout win, though. So he dumped Carmelo into the timekeeper's area next. Hayes quickly reemerged, though, on top of the barricade over there, and he dropped Gunther with a leaping DDT. And then he scampered back into the ring. And they did, basically, they wanted you to believe that after the way he won on Friday, he could potentially pull it off for a second time here. And Gunther might just get counted out. But of course, Gunther made it back into the ring just in the nick of time. So the crowd was really into things now by this point. Hayes went for nothing but net. Gunther dodged it, absolutely clobbered him with a clothesline and then a powerbomb, but only got a near fall. And everybody cheered because they bought into that as the potential finish. Gunther applied the sleeper hold, and you think, okay, well, this is it, right? In a matter of moments here, it's going to all be over. And they allowed him, though, to struggle. And he actually was able to fight to his feet, but it wasn't enough. Gunther dropped him with a second power bomb, this time with a stack, and he got the pin to advance to the semifinals. This was another week, and this was another banger for Gunther in this tournament. I loved the match with Javon Evans last week. I really liked the match tonight. A few notches below that one, but still a very good match with Carmelo Hayes, who more than held up his end of things. I mean, he looked even more impressive here than he did in the match with Reed, because Reed really had more of the offense, and it wasn't really... that match was not designed to really get Carmelo Hayes over. It wasn't designed as like a highlight reel for him so much as it was to keep Reed strong going into war games and then have all the baby faces come out and cost him and get their revenge. And then he kind of ekes on by. Tonight, he really went, you know, toe-to-toe with this man. And he stood his ground, and there were some great near falls, and he held his own. He held out as long as he could until, you know, he just couldn't anymore. It was a very competitive match, more competitive than I was probably thinking it would be. I would love to think that it's going to lead to more of a sustained push on SmackDown for Hayes. But really, what is it going to lead to? It's going to lead to a match with The Miz. And after that runs its course, who the hell knows? I really, you know, there was a period of time early on when Triple H took over where I would have said that I had... It was something I felt when I used to watch Lucha Underground, where I just couldn't stand so much of the WWE product. And there was no goodwill there. I automatically just assumed the worst. This guy's going to get buried. This guy's going to get his legs cut off. There was just no reason to believe that some of the people that I was a fan of, you know, or the people who really deserve to have a spotlight shown on them, that Vince McMahon was going to do that. And in many cases, he didn't. But when I watched Lucha Underground, I remember just, I was so, you know, into what they were doing and the stories that they were telling that, you know, even if there was a week where maybe they did something that made me go, oh, I don't know about that. But you know what? I give them the benefit of the doubt. And rarely would they ever let me down. That's how I felt about Triple H very early on when he took over the book, you know, here in this company. I gave him the benefit of the doubt because I had no reason at that point to think that, you know, they were going to drop the ball in the way that they used to. And they were doing a lot of good stuff. And now, you know, with certain people, and Carmelo Hayes is one of those people, but just look at what they've been doing on SmackDown. Why in the world would anybody give these people the benefit of the doubt. You know, now it's more like, I'll believe it when I see it. Same thing with LA Knight and certain other people on the roster. I'll believe it when I see it. I don't give anybody the benefit of the doubt anymore because I've been burned too many times and I've seen what they've done and the inaction when it comes to, you know, pushing or elevating certain people who should be pushed or elevated on the show. And Carmelo Hayes is one of those people. So look, I hope for his sake, I hope it happens, but I ain't giving them the benefit of the doubt. But you would hope that a performance like this would, in the long run, it would lead to more opportunities for him. We'll see. But this was a very enjoyable match here. Second best of the entire tournament so far. Backstage, CM Punk and Cody Rhodes, they're talking. They're having a conversation. And Roman is just standing there. When the Usos appear, and Jay calls them, hey, we're just one big happy family, right? Jimmy and Jay say that they're on the same page. And their partners could count on them tonight in the main event in the Man Advantage match. So after the Usos left, Reigns asked Punk and Cody who the team leader was, and he told them to fix this, and he left. This guy thinks he's back in the bloodline. He's bossing around CM Punk and Cody Rhodes. After this, oh boy, we had a throwback. I felt like I was watching Raw from 20 years ago. We had Dominic Mysterio out next. He had a message. One final message to deliver to John Cena before their big title match at Survivor Series. And he told Cena that he's going to put an end to this retirement tour. And he's going to embarrass him in his hometown of San Diego to take back the Intercontinental Championship. And he will continue, he said, to be the greatest Mysterio of all time. And it doesn't even matter if the fans cheer for John Cena or they don't cheer for John Cena. He's not even here tonight. And he doesn't even blame him for not wanting to come to a dump like Oklahoma City. So then he is interrupted by John Cena's music. And these poor people in OKC, man, they took the bait. They exploded when they heard John Cena's music because they thought, oh my God, we're going to get to see John Cena one last time. Man's retiring in a few weeks. I bought a ticket to this show not thinking that we were going to get the chance to see John Cena, but here he is, right? His music is playing, the trumpets are blaring. But it was not John Cena. It was a mini Cena. They had a little person dressed up as John Cena. Apparently, from what I ascertain here, this guy is a wrestler from the Big Little Brawlers reality show. His name is Psycho. Remember Psycho Stew? It was spelled the same way, S-Y-K-O. So he's a wrestler named Psycho. Oh, I knew that Issa would love that thumbnail. What's going on, Issa? NYC Demon Diva, she is in love with the Tribal Chief in the thumbnail of tonight's video. See, I may have to swap him out, though, now, when I'm done here. And put a picture of Brock slipping and falling on his ass. See, to me, that should be the thumbnail for tonight's video. But now, because I know she likes it so much, I may have to leave it alone and keep it the way it is. But yes, we had Mini Cena, and they had Mini Stu the cameraman. Take a look at this. This is an actual image from tonight's show. I want you to look at this image here, right? Mini Stu was being filmed by actual Stu, the cameraman. This is like Stuception here in this image. But again, I'm watching this segment and I felt like I was watching an episode of Raw from 2005. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. Guys, if you're suffering from hair loss, you've probably tried something or maybe multiple things to find that magic potion to get your hair back. And if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, that's me, then this is for you. So listen up. You can forget all the trial and error, all the searching, like you're looking for buried treasure. What works for hair loss has been staring you right in the face this entire time. With Hims, you get access to clear solutions, expert guidance, and an online process that takes the confusion out of care. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop further hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. No hidden fees, no surprise costs, just real personalized care on your own schedule. You can think of Hims as your digital front door that you walk through to be transported back to your old self. With 100% online access to trusted treatments for real health concerns, all in one place. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your free online visit. hims.com/solomonster. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. So Mini Cena, he runs down to the ring with fun-sized Stu and actual Stu hauling ass behind him. And then at ringside, they showed actual Stu filming with fun-sized Stu standing right next to him on a box. Get him a couple of extra inches in height. So Dom is in the ring now, and he is facing Mini Cena. And he is having a very difficult time not busting out laughing here in this segment. He is nearly corpsing. He slipped a little bit there a couple of times. He almost corpsed in the middle of the ring. And he told Mini Cena that he could drop him where he stands, but he's going to let him walk away. And Dom, again, he was doing all he could just not to burst out laughing here. Mini Cena gave the fine speech line that we've heard Cena give before. Fine speech, he said, coming from the worst Mysterio of all time. Dom leaned in and told him, hey, stick to the plan. And Mini Cena said that if you won't fight me in front of the good people of Oklahoma City, going for that cheap heat, or the cheap heat, the cheap pop, this whole segment was cheap heat. Mini Cena was going for the cheap pop. He goes, then at Survivor Series, if you want some, come get some. Because the champ is here. And then Dom booted him down to the mat. That made me laugh. When he booted him down, that did make me laugh, I will say. I don't know if that makes me a bad person or not. Maybe it does. I don't really give a shit. So Dom did the You Can't See Me, and then he dropped some five-knuckle shuffle action. Then he draped him over the middle rope. He delivered a 619, and then he dragged fun-sized Cena to the center of the ring, and Dom went up to the top rope, and he squashed him with a frog splash. So then Rey Mysterio's music hits. You got to wait for your music cue. Now Rey Mysterio comes running out to the ring, and of course his son bails, and Rey tended to Mini Cena as Dom left, and JD McDonagh's music hit because he was set for a match tonight with Rey Mysterio, which obviously was coming up next. I love how Rey Mysterio, he didn't come out initially when Dom booted him down. He didn't come out when he did the five-knuckle shuffle. He didn't come out when he had this little mini man draped over the middle rope, and he did the 619, and he did the frog splash. He allowed this man to be killed, and then when they hit his music, he decided to run out and make the save. What is with these baby faces who decide to make the save after the crime has already been committed? After the man has been murdered. Now it's time. Why do we even say come out to make the save? Why am I even calling it the save? There was no save. He was late. He didn't save anybody. I don't know why I call it that. That's not what it was. It's incorrect. It's not accurate. He came out to hog the spotlight, perhaps, I guess, but there was no save. See, I mean, Dom was not wrong here. This man is a deadbeat. I don't know what he was trying to prove here. So this was something straight out of the, so Ray said, hey, little guy, that's right. Maybe he felt bad. You know, it's not often that Rey Mysterio finds himself in the ring with somebody who's smaller than him. So maybe he just felt badly about it. But you would think that would actually inspire him to come out earlier to help this man. But he didn't do that. This was a segment that Vince McMahon would have cooked up 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 30 years ago. And there were certainly aspects of this. I will say the Stu the cameraman bit, that was kind of clever. But this was a blast from the past, not necessarily in the best possible way. Now, I understand them not wanting to send Dominic out there to do a serious promo, right? Because John Cena is not there. So what do? You could have run a pre-tape of some kind, but Cena's not there. This is what they decided. Okay, we're going to just lean into Dom being an asshole. He's a smug asshole who shows no respect. This version of Dominic Mysterio is not going to go out there and cut a serious promo on John Cena and be taken seriously by too many people. So they went in the opposite direction and had him do something juvenile and disrespectful and dumb. That was the point of doing this and having fun at John Cena's expense. And I still think that when we head into Survivor Series this weekend, there is only one outcome here that makes sense. There is only one outcome here that should be the outcome, which is that Dominic Mysterio wins back the Intercontinental Championship, because we all see where this tournament is headed. We all know where things are headed. And there is absolutely no reason for John Cena to still be the champion going into Washington, D.C. So if this is his second to last match, there's only one option here. And I believe Liv Morgan is going to assist and help Dominic Mysterio win back the Intercontinental title. Of course, he's not going to do it by himself. But I do think that we will see Liv Morgan back this weekend. And she will factor into the finish of this match. Now, we had Rey Mysterio, who was out there for his match after this with JD McDonagh. Finn Balor, I should point out, was out there as well in McDonagh's corner. He was getting involved during the commercial break. McDonagh applied an abdominal stretch, and Balor held his arm back for leverage from the outside. Referee caught him. Now, you would think in this situation, the logical thing to do would be for the referee to eject Dominic Mysterio, the referee's discretion. We see them ejecting people from ringside every week. If a heel so much as sneezes or looks in the direction of the babyface, right, the referee will eject them and send them to the back. Or if this was AEW, of course, you'd have Aubrey Edwards, and she would be having a whole production, and she would throw everybody out. She would grab the heel. She would throw the heel through the hoop earrings that she was wearing at the fucking pay-per-view this weekend. So we see this all the time, and yet the referee did no such thing here. He yelled at him, he said a few words to him, but he allowed Finn Balor to continue to stand at ringside after this. So Rey made his comeback. He went for a 619. McDonagh, though, caught him with a standing Spanish fly, only for a two count. Rey responded with a code red for two of his own. He went for a 619, but he got tripped up by Balor, who was still allowed out there. McDonagh tried a cheap shot. Rey, though, tripped him into Balor, which knocked Balor off the apron. Rey followed with a 619 and a springboard splash for the win. And Balor tried to attack Rey after the match. Rey was ducking and dodging him and then was able to escape the ring. Sometimes I watch Rey Mysterio out there, and it's hard for me to believe he's 50 years old, because he still moves around out there like he's, you know, 20 years younger. You know, I mean, the way he was like dodging and avoiding Balor here and then escaped, I'm like watching him move around out there. And I'm like, you would think that after wrestling for so many years, especially the style that he's wrestled and all the injuries and the knee injuries, like how is he even able to move, let alone still do the stuff that he does? So it will never not be impressive to me that the Rey Mysterio that we see out there right now on television, when he's healthy, because, you know, he does get hurt from time to time. But the Rey Mysterio that we see out there on TV right now is actually better.
My curiosity is killing me, just like a cat would be killed by the curiosity, yeah.
Hey, Sidro is with us. But he is better than he was 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Because again, there was that period of time in the early 2010s where he was constantly getting hurt. It was just his knees. And I thought then that this guy's done. And here we are now, 12, 13 years later, and he's still able to go out there and perform at a high level and move around the ring as fast as he does. It's impressive. You know, it is impressive. The groin injury that he had earlier this year was a total freak occurrence. That was right before WrestleMania. He got thrown out of the ring hard, I think, by the Street Profits. And just the way he landed. Yeah, that wasn't even a knee injury. That was a groin thing, which is very painful. But stem cells, man. Stem cells. They have literally added years onto this man's career. That's the only reason he's able to keep doing what he's doing at the level he does it at. But this was a good match. I said it on the sound off when I was talking about SmackDown the other night. You know, JD McDonagh is like Sheamus. I compared him to Sheamus in that he is one of the more reliable, consistent performers on the roster when it comes to just sending him out there and knowing that he is going to deliver a good match, or if not a very good match, every single time he's out there. You could also rely on the fact that he will likely be looking up at the lights and taking the losing fall at the end of it. That's all but guaranteed. But you can always rely on him to go out there and give you a banger match. And this was no different. This was good stuff. We had Raquel Rodriguez. She was in the back with Adam Pearce, and she was not happy about Nikki Bella getting a championship match against Stephanie Vaquer before her. As she has every right to be, by the way. You know who has the right to be even more upset than anybody else? Roxanne Perez. But it's not them getting a title match. It's Nikki Bella this weekend. So Pierce said that, look, you're in the mix. You're in the title mix. And that was enough to satisfy her. So that was the end of their conversation. Meanwhile, the New Day and Grayson Waller walk in. And they're complaining about Adam Pierce ruining their lives. Pierce tells them, you know, AJ Styles and Dragon Lee, they want to defend their titles next week against the New Day. And this pleases them greatly. Grayson Waller places a wig on Pierce's head. Pierce snaps at him to get out, and he says that I need a drink. That's how I feel usually when I watch SmackDown on Fridays. I need a good stiff drink. Give me a double. Then we saw Cowboy Brock walking in the back. And he finds Paul Heyman waiting outside of a room, and Brock walks in and they shut the door behind them. That would not be the last that we see of Cowboy Brock here on the show. We had the former Women's Intercontinental Champion, yes, former, Becky Lynch, out to the ring next ahead of a commercial break. During the break, her partners for War Games made their way out to the ring, Nia Jax, Lash Legend, Asuka, Kairi Sane. Becky called last week's result an injustice and said that she had the best lawyers in the world working to overturn it. She was advised, though, not to talk about it. But she did want to say that she followed the rules, unlike Maxine Dupri and referee Jessica Carr. The result would be overturned and the company would be better off. The company would also be better off when she got rid of AJ Lee once and for all. And she said AJ made a mistake by coming back to cost her the championship, but the biggest mistake that she will ever make is entering War Games with her. And Becky admitted that she had her differences with her teammates, and she went one by one down the line as she put her arm around Asuka, who wasn't thrilled about this, and talked about their many battles, most of which I won, she said. Becky called Nia very powerful. Not powerful like me, but powerful enough to break her face. Says Nia was the only person ever to damage her face, but she has strong cheekbones. And at least she didn't need to wear a mask like rotten Rhea Ripley. She called Lash Legend her new friend and a fine specimen of a woman who Becky would like to make into a star. She mentioned rotten Rhea Ripley. Also in this promo, she mentioned Charlatan Flair, which I've not heard that before, and Awful Alexa. And that's about as far as she could get before she was interrupted. And then all the members of the babyface team in War Games got individual entrances. So Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, and then finally AJ Lee. And they all make their way down to the ring. And now AJ, it's her turn to talk to Becky. AJ said that the old AJ would have run to the ring and torn Becky's face off, but therapy worked. She said that she knew Becky was just feeling insecure and afraid. Said that she didn't need to run her mouth to lift herself up because she knew who the hell she was. She didn't need to bark like an angry chihuahua. She doesn't bark. She says she bites. That's right. Like Larry the dog. She said that Becky poured gasoline on the fire and now she was locking herself in a cage with me. She said that she would be free to do whatever she wanted and she wasn't alone in wanting to see Becky get knocked off her pedestal. So she asked Rhea if she agreed. Rhea Ripley took the microphone. Rhea Ripley, though, had nothing to say. And instead, Rhea smashed the microphone in Nia's face. That led to a big brawl. And the baby faces stood tall. At the end, Io wiped out most of the heels with a moonsault off the top to the floor outside as Becky backed up the aisle with a look of concern on her face. Asuka and Kairi here, they look ridiculous, you know, falling down for this moonsault and selling it when Io didn't even touch them. Like, Io landed on Nia and Lash Legend. So Kairi was on one side, Asuka was on the other, and they all fall down. It looks so silly. Today's episode is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Let's be honest. Most holiday gifts, they end up sitting in a drawer or that black hole that you call a closet, or maybe in the spirit of feeling charitable, you give it away to somebody that you know. Well, this is not one of those times. Mint Mobile is offering unlimited premium wireless for just $15 a month. That's their best deal of the year. Also known as the only holiday gift that you'll actually use every single day. And it's true. Mint Mobile's best deal of the year is happening right now. Get a 3, 6, or 12-month unlimited plan for $15 a month. All Mint plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text on the nation's largest 5G network. And even better, you could take your current phone and phone number with you. There's no contract and no nonsense. You know, in my time using Mint, I have found their service to be fast and reliable. I haven't had any dropped calls, no surprise charges or overages. Paying my bill now, as compared to how it used to be in the past with other providers, has me very grateful for how much I'm saving each month. And I have everything I need. I'm so glad I gave Mint a shot, and you will be too, especially with this special offer for Solomonster Sounds Off listeners. Don't get them socks. Get them premium wireless for $15 a month. Shop Mint Unlimited plans at mintmobile.com/Solomonster. That's mintmobile.com/Solomonster. Limited time offer, upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12 months, plan required, $15 a month equivalent, taxes and fees extra, initial plan term only, greater than 35 gigabytes may slow when network is busy, capable device required, availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com. Becky's promo, though, I thought was really good. It was amusing, the little nicknames that she came up with for people. Yeah, I said this the other night. She's been going absolutely crazy. Ever since she lost the championship last Monday, all of her tweets, all the capitalized, you know, tweets, nonstop for a week. I had to mute her on my timeline because it just got so overwhelming. She hasn't shut up about this title loss all week. But, you know, here in this promo, she went down the line and she had a little something to say about each of her partners. And it wasn't always very complimentary. So you saw the expression on their face. And so much like the opening segment on the show, and this one was a little less overt, but, you know, kind of building the tension a little bit between all of her teammates and Becky makes you wonder if maybe at some point during the match on Saturday, if Becky is in a position where she needs some assistance, will her partners be there to actually help her? Because she seems to have a very high opinion of herself. And if Becky finds herself in a sticky situation, is she going to be on her own? Is there going to be some sort of break between them at some point during the match? I don't know. But the baby faces here stood tall. And if you read the results, the spoilers for SmackDown coming up on Friday, they're going to have the woman advantage match. This all has me reconsidering my prediction for Survivor Series. Now, I'm going to stick with what my prediction was. I'm not going to go back on it. I'm going to stick with it. But, man, the way things are shaping up right now, it's pretty lopsided in favor of the baby faces. We had our second quarterfinal match in the John Cena Last Time Is Now tournament with Solo Sikoa against Penta. And this is where things fell off. Unfortunately, disaster struck very early on here in this match. Solo, they're outside the ring. Solo sends Penta over the barricade and into the crowd. Penta, though, reemerges on top of the barricade. And he jumps off and he brings Solo down with a very simple, yeah, as simple as it could be, simple for him. A simple Hurricane Rana spot, right? It wasn't anything crazy. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary for Penta. But he landed awkwardly on his shoulder. You know, he landed with all of his weight down on his left shoulder, and he stayed down. And medical rushed over. You know, the camera was on Solo, but you could still see Penta kind of at the top of the screen. And you could see, you know, the doctor, trainer, whoever it was, you know, rush over to check on him. And they headed into what I think was a planned commercial break. They were probably going to take a break there anyway. I'm watching, of course, with my trusty ExpressVPN. So I'm watching during the commercial break, and the camera follows Solo back into the ring. They did not put the camera back on Penta after that. So that right there is a telltale sign that, okay, something is going on here. So they keep the camera focused on Solo, who's like kneeling in the corner. He's not doing anything. And they just refuse to show Penta. And the announcers are talking about how he's still being tended to and looked over by the doctors. They did show a couple of replays of the spot, including a slow-mo replay. And again, the only awkward thing is just the way that he came down on the shoulder. He landed with all of his weight on the shoulder. I mean, it's not like, remember when Rey Fénix got hurt several years ago on Dynamite? I want to say maybe it was he got thrown out of the ring. I don't remember exactly what the spot was, but when his arm bent, that sickening, I don't know how he didn't break his arm. Somehow he didn't break his arm, but he still got hurt and he was out, I think, for several months. It wasn't anything like that. Yeah, I don't want to make it sound like it was like a Fénix type of thing where, oh my God, he's got this horrific, disgusting arm injury. It was nothing like that, but he finally got back up to his feet. It came back from commercial and he got back up to his feet. The referee, though, called the match off. He waved the match off. They rang the bell and they awarded the win to Solo Sikoa on the basis of Penta being unable to continue. And Penta was banging on top of the barricade as he was being let out. Clearly, he was very frustrated and just visibly upset. As was Solo Sikoa, because he left with Tala Tonga and he put his finger in the air and all that to kind of celebrate his win, but he was not happy. You know, he was not selling it like, oh, wow, well, I guess I'm moving on to the next round. There was none of that here. He was pissed. And I'm sure it was a combination of they had this 12-minute match planned that they were not able to do a lot of the shit they were supposed to do. But the main reason was his opponent got hurt. And that's never something that you want to see happen, you know? I mean, it sucks. It's a very shitty situation. And it's nothing to do with him. I mean, he had nothing to do with Penta landing on his shoulder. It's just the way that it happened. Solo was in a completely different area when Penta landed. But it sucks. And again, there was a fan in the crowd who mouthed off to him and said something that obviously pissed him off. And you could see Solo looks at the guy and basically says, fuck you. And, just keeps walking. So this was terrible just for so many different reasons, to see Penta get hurt. And again, hopefully it's nothing overly serious. We still have no official update yet. But the fact that he got hurt and the fact that this has now further screwed up this tournament bracket. And this right here, and I'll put it up for you right now, this is the current bracket for the tournament as things stand. And you see there what our semifinal match is going to be on the right side of that bracket. We are now going to get next week Gunther against Solo Sikoa. This tournament is cursed between Penta and Sheamus. Like, what else could go wrong here? And I already was not thrilled with this bracket Like Gunther and Javon last week, that was a lot of fun, as Gunther and Carmelo Hayes was tonight. But you look at this tournament so far, there has not been a whole lot to get excited about. And for all the talk about how we're going to have people that maybe don't even work for the company, you know, okay, they had Matt Cardona and they had Dolph Ziggler, who were promptly eliminated in the opening round from the tournament. And for all the talk about how NXT talents will also be eligible to be in this tournament, we had one. We had one. I mean, look at this bracket. We had one. That was it. Like, of all the potential combinations, of all the potential talents that you could have had in this tournament, this was very low effort. Like, they didn't really put a whole lot of effort into this tournament here. And it's a foregone conclusion, of course, that Gunther is going to win this thing. Especially now. I mean, look at what we have here. Look at what we have here. Let's just be honest here, okay? We're getting Gunther against LA Knight, or more likely Gunther against Jey Uso. That is going to be the finals of this tournament. You're going to tell me that gets you excited? There's nothing exciting about this at all. So the shoulder stuff is just insane to me. As I said at the top of the review, I don't know what's been going on this year with this company and shoulder injuries, from Sheamus to Penta to Rollins to Liv and Gable, but get well soon, Penta. I don't know exactly what the nature of the injury is. It could have been a shoulder separation. It could be a dislocation. Hopefully it's nothing more serious than that. But even something like that, depending on the severity of it, you could still be looking at months out of the ring. Hopefully it's a days and weeks thing and not a weeks and months thing. Because we just had the announcement this weekend at the AAA show. We had literally had a promo on the video wall after the main event to set up the next AAA main event on December 20th, that we were finally going to get a reunion of the Lucha Bros. Penta and Rey Fénix were on screen hyping their match against Dominic Mysterio and El Grande Americano, which is still scheduled for December 20th. That now is potentially up in smoke. That is very much up in the air now, depending on the severity of the injury. So to make things even worse, the idea that now we might be, you know, deprived of a Lucha Brothers reunion for a while after we were supposed to get it, you know, next month. It sucks. You know, it's just a very shitty situation. So we'll wait and see what the official update is on Penta, but this, not that the tournament was any great shakes to begin with. This just took a tournament that was already very lackluster, frankly, and made it even worse. And there's nothing they could do. I mean, the match is set. There's not, well, what can they do now to like come up with something more interesting? There's nothing they can do. Solo Sikoa qualified for the next round. He is moving on. We are getting Gunther and Solo Sikoa. There's nothing that we can do about it, other than just, let's just get it over with. And who knows? Maybe they'll go out there and they'll have a better match than I'm expecting. It's tough when you have heel against heel, though. Right, it's just not the dynamic that you want in that situation. You know, it's not going to be what Gunther and Penta would have been. So let's just get through it. Let's just get to the finals, and let's just get this shit over with. Because I don't see any combination of matches that, frankly, between here and the end of the tournament, that is terribly enticing. And without giving anything away, if you have not looked at the spoilers for SmackDown coming up on Friday, and you're wondering, well, who's the replacement? Who's the replacement for Sheamus? You know, against LA Knight in the next round. Don't get your hopes up, is all I'm going to say. Now, backstage, Adam Pearce told Maxxine Dupri, the new Women's Intercontinental Champion, that more women have called him about... He should have just ended it there. More women have called him than ever before. More women have called him, he said, about taking that belt off of her than any title he can remember. Well, of course, it's Maxxine Dupri, okay? All due respect to Maxxine Dupri. I am sure that there are women who are licking their chops saying, oh man, now's my chance. I could take this championship, no problem. So he advised her to focus and work hard. And Maxxine said that she would. She wanted to be the type of champion that people could be proud of. She told Pierce that she was going to call Natalya. And Pierce said that he loved it, and he shook her hand. So then Ivy Nile, who has not been seen on this show in literally months, just shows up randomly and approaches Maxxine and told her that the title is hers. Now, the reason that Ivy Nile was even there is because she had a match on Main Event against Thea Hale from NXT. So that's why she was there. So after Ivy walked away, and there was no reaction, by the way, when Ivy walked up to Maxine, I am legitimately certain that more than half the audience did not even know who this woman was. Like, there was no reaction whatsoever when Ivy walked up to Maxine. Half of them knew and didn't care because she's not pushed, and the other half were probably like, who's that? That's sad. So Maxine continues walking, and she bumps into Raquel Rodriguez and Roxanne Perez. And they're talking some smack, and Pierce comes back, and he says, is there a problem here? Yep, no problem. After the heels left, Pierce said that Maxine might want to call Natalya right now. There was a Stephanie Vaquer pre-taped promo. Man, you talk about the promotion and the build-up for this match, for that Women's World Championship this weekend. Whoo, boy, this is awful. This is as ice cold as it gets. I mean, it was an awful segment last week. This week, we got the one pre-tape. There is no interest or excitement whatsoever heading into that match this weekend. Hopefully, it's quick. It's one and done. There's no twin magic to kind of drag this out and prolong this and have Stephanie have to win the belt back from Nikki Bella. Although, again, you can't discount twin magic. Twin magic is another thing that's like 15 years old, but I put nothing past these people. But there was a pre-tape promo, and Stephanie said that Nikki was clever, but she wasn't as smart as she thought that she was. And Vaquer knew all about Bella's history, but Bella didn't know about hers. And if Nikki were as smart as she pretended to be, she would know who she was messing with. Stephanie said, are you sure you want to get in the ring with me? There you go. That's your last bit of promotion there for that championship match this week. Well, look, I guess we need a buffer of some kind, right, between the two War Games matches. And you got a John Cena match in there. There's got to be a comedown match. So, by default, that's what this match is. And then the main event was the Man Advantage match in War Games with the Usos against Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. And the heels worked over Jey Uso. Logan knocked Jimmy off the apron before he could make a tag. McIntyre chucked Jey over the announce desk, which led to a second and final commercial break. And as McIntyre posed, Jimmy threw a bottle of Prime at him. Logan and McIntyre, they held up Jey in delayed vertical suplex position, and they were flexing with their opposing arms while they were doing so. Who among us has not done that at some point or another in our lives, right? I used to do that all the time with my little brother. I would pick him up and suplex him, and as I'm holding him up with one arm, I'd be posing with the other arm, man. That was back in the day. That was back in my prime. That was fun. So after this, he finally made the hot tag to Jimmy, who hit Logan with an enziguri before super kicking McIntyre off the apron. Jimmy hit a dive of sorts from the top for a two count. Logan responded with a blockbuster. Jimmy ducked a punch. He followed with a super kick, a spear, and an Uso splash. McIntyre, though, broke up the cover. Jey and McIntyre, they brawled outside the ring as the Bronze arrived to check on Logan. CM Punk and Cody Rhodes, they ran out to take out Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. As everyone was brawling, Jey wiped out everybody with a big dive, and Jimmy was a little too busy celebrating, so Logan schoolboyed him, and he won the Man Advantage for Team Vision in War Games.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school hall or a church. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend or family member, or a charity. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. There's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Punk immediately attacked Logan, and the brawl continued. Roman Reigns finally entered, and he greeted the Bronze in the aisle with Superman punches. Reigns handed out Superman punches to Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre. The babyfaces stood tall. They put the closing credits and the copyright box on the screen to throw you off. But if you've been watching the show, then you would know that there was a certain someone who had arrived at the building earlier, and there's no way this show is going off the air yet. So, Brock Lesnar's music hits. And he enters with Paul Heyman, and he stops on the stage, and he's doing his bouncy pose that he does. And he throws his arms up in the air to try to time it with the pyro, and the pyro shoots off. And as the pyro shoots off, Brock slipped. He slipped in his cowboy boots. See, this is what Hulk Hogan was worried about. When he came out at Bash at the Beach in 96, he was wearing cowboy boots. And he was worried that he might slip and fall on his ass. Thankfully, that didn't happen. I mean, you talk about ruining one of the biggest moments in wrestling history. That would have been embarrassing. But Brock slips, and he does a complete backwards roll. And Paul Heyman, the funniest thing is Paul Heyman is just standing there watching him. As he's probably thinking to himself, like, what the fuck are you doing? But he did a complete roll through, and he popped right back up to his feet, and I nearly pissed myself laughing. The best moment of the entire night right there. He had his Shockmaster moment. This will live on forever now. The Brockmaster. The Brockmaster. This sounds like something you would sell at 2 o'clock in the morning on QVC. We got the Brockmaster on sale. Just three easy payments of $49.99. Anyway, yes, the Brock. That tells you all you need to know about Raw tonight. Outside of the Gunther match, that the Brockmaster was the best part of the entire show. But he got up, and he's laughing at himself because, again, what else are you supposed to do? And takes the cowboy hat off. He marches down to the ringside area. He joins his teammates. They all get up on the apron. It was weird to see Brock, like, with teammates. It's not his natural habitat. It was very strange. So they get in the ring, and the two teams start a giant brawl. And that is how they go off the air. The show faded to black. So as far as the final War Games build is concerned, you know, they gave you the big brawl between the women's teams and the men's teams. There was some little hints of dissension, at least on the men's side. They tried to, you know, highlight the fact that these men don't like each other and they may not get along and they may not trust each other. Could be trust issues there. There's just certain people in these matches, whether it's Cody or Logan, and you could maybe point to a couple of others who just feel very, you know, shoehorned in there. And that's just sort of the way it is when you have to have 5-on-5, because we can't have 4-on-4, when you have to find all these extra people. And Seth Rollins getting hurt, of course, also fucked up a lot of their plans, because Seth would absolutely have been in this match on Saturday as part of Team Vision. He would have been leading Team Vision. It's interesting, you know, if Seth doesn't get hurt, I mentioned this on TNT the other night, last week. If Seth Rollins doesn't get hurt, I think that we're looking at a very different War Games match. I think we're looking at a War Games match that does not involve Cody Rhodes. We're looking at a War Games match that does not involve Drew McIntyre. I believe Meltzer's report that Austin Theory was going to join the Vision. And I think Austin Theory would be in there. You know, Dave said that Lash Legend was going to be in the women's match. And people were like, what? Lash Legend? Where'd she come from? And sure enough, Lash Legend is in there. So I think we're looking at a match potentially where maybe John Cena would have ended up in War Games, rounding out the babyface side. More likely, LA Knight, I think, would have ended up in War Games. I think we would have had We would have had Punk, Roman, the Usos, and LA Knight. And on the other side, you would have had Rollins, Breaker, Reed, Lesnar, and Theory. And so it would have changed the entire complexion of the match. Like, one little injury, how it can cascade and cause all these other changes is pretty incredible. So that's probably a big part of why it feels like certain people are shoehorned in there. Logan Paul wouldn't have been in there. Logan Paul would not have been in there. nor would Cody or Drew. We have a totally different match now. But you do have a lot of big names in there, and star power can go a long way towards selling these types of matches because people want to see stars. They want to see big names. I'm intrigued how it's going to work with Brock Lesnar being in his first War Games match. Like, do you have him start out for the heels? I wouldn't think so, but just the visual of Brock bouncing around the little tiny cage with everybody else locked in the cage in the aisle it's a weird visual for me to, you know, when I think about what that is going to look like. Because I'm just not used to seeing him in that type of match. But that was your final bit of War Games build as far as Raw goes. Again, SmackDown was taped last Friday. The spoilers are out there if you want to read them. There was a Survivor Series elimination match that they taped on Friday. It was Solo Sikoa in the MFTs against Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Rey Fénix, and the Motor City Machine Guns. So those results are floating out there. Just be aware, I'm not going to be live for SmackDown on Friday. I will not be here. So I'll be here Wednesday for the Dynamite post-show coming out of Full Gear. And then I'll be here for Saturday Survivor Series, the post-show, on Saturday night. But not for SmackDown on Friday. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of Raw before Survivor Series? 61.3% thumbs up for tonight's show. 38.7% thumbs down with almost 1,000 votes in so far. You can go vote at Solomonster on X. If you want to also go take a look at the Brockmaster image that I mocked up. It is there for all of you to enjoy. The Brockmaster. Over an hour into Raw and there's been one match so far, says Ragnarok. It was a good match, but come on, what are we doing here? They are in full Survivor Series promotion mode. So they're not concerned about matches on the go-home show. It says, it's just not me, right? This show was ass tonight. Best thing was Gunther against Carmelo, and an hour later, JD against Rey. I hope the main event finishes strong. Yeah, the main event was a nothing match. Andre Israel, please solo make that Brock botch a super chat. We got the Brockmaster, baby. Paul Van Summeren says, the Brockmaster. See, he knows where it's at. He knows where it's at. Josh Worthington says, first Sheamus and now Penta with the injury bug. Who is next? Cena. Oh my God, can you imagine? That is catastrophic if that happens. Like, God forbid if John Cena goes in there and gets hurt. That Survivor Series, like, can you even imagine? Like, what would they do? I mean, I guess Saturday night's main event would just turn into a WWE against NXT showcase. That would be the entire show. I mean, disaster does not even begin to describe. Can you imagine all those people paid like fucking $3,000 and $5,000 to go to that show? And then Cena gets hurt and they end up with a card full of like... end up with a card of like fucking Tony D'Angelo against, I don't know, fucking JD McDonough. And oh man, I mean the refund phone calls would overwhelm Ticketmaster's fucking switchboards. C's says, Solomonster, do you think WWE can rebound creatively in 2026? WWE can rebound creatively anytime they want. They have an army of writers. They've got the talent ready and waiting to do what they're told. I certainly hope so. But am I giving them the benefit of the doubt and having faith in them? I'm not. But I sure hope so, because, you know, I got to watch these shows. So I want them to be good. I want them to be fun. I want them to be interesting. I want them to be engaging. Makes my job harder when they're not. Brandon Proctor, I had to rewatch that Brock fall several times. I was laughing so hard. I hope the Penta injury is not anything serious. As do I. And Brandon, thank you very much, sir, for that $30 Mentos super chat. You're awesome. Happy Thanksgiving. The Sheltered Kid, has there ever been a wrestler that died while holding a championship? off the top of my head, I can't think of any. I'm sure there must have been, but off the top of my head, I can't think of any now. You know, the thing is, before he offed himself, Benoit, I believe, was supposed to win the ECW title. I think he was going to beat CM Punk and become the ECW champion. So they kind of dodged a bullet on that one. But actively holding a championship at the time of their death, I'm sure the answer is yes. I'm just drawing a blank on who that would have been. The real Vinnie Mac. Calling it now, one of the Usos is taken out before War Games. They are replaced with Randy Orton, who turns on Cody. See, now that's some of that creative thinking that I wish they had on the main roster. That would be great. I have no expectation that that's going to happen, but I think that would be great. However, Randy Orton is being advertised for the December 5th SmackDown. So that would indicate that he is on his way back very soon. So let's see what happens. Hey guys, Maven here. No, he was not. He was going to win it, but he was not the IC champion when he died. The Boss Mo Jackson. What's worse, the Brock slip or the Titus slide? See, you say worse. The Titus slide is fantastic. One of the greatest moments in WWE history. It is still unmatched. The fact that he literally slid under the ring, like, that is unmatched. At least in WWE. The number one will always be, like, if you made a Mount Rushmore of it, the first face on Mount Rushmore will forever be the Shockmaster. Ain't nothing beating the Shockmaster falling through a wall and his helmet flying off. There's nothing in the world that will ever beat that. We have Extreme Man 85. Hi, Solo. I was at the show tonight. OKC was energetic and live. I've not been to a show in years. I'm glad I went tonight. Well, I'm glad you had fun. You got to see a lot of big names, that's for sure. Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, AJ Lee, Rhea Ripley. No John Cena, though. No John Cena in OKC. Base Beerus, even when Brock slips, he bounces up immediately as he bounces back instantly. I love how in the list here, I still have your names the right way. It's only in the chat that YouTube went and fucked everything up. C's, in WWE, the women are way better than the men. They have a very strong women's roster. I'm not prepared to say that they are way better than the men, but yeah, you give me Gunther on the men's side and EO on the women's side, and you got yourself a hell of a team right there. The Boss Mo Jackson, to be honest, I'm not surprised by Penta's injury. It was a gut feeling for me. It sucks. I don't know. Sometimes he makes me nervous. I love Penta. The injury bug sucks ass. Yes, it does, man. It fucking blows. It blows. So, apparently Jay Briscoe was one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions at the time that he passed away. You know, the last match that the Briscoes ever wrestled was actually in House of Glory. And they lost the HOG tag team titles in that match. So they did not have those titles anymore. This was just, you know, like the month before. And I had the chance to call their last match together as a team, which is just insane to think about. But yeah, I had forgotten. I guess they would have been ROH Tag Team Champions at the time. That's right. And then was it at Supercard of Honor or whatever the show was in March. I think maybe they crowned new champions in like a ladder match, I believe.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school hall or a church. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend or family member, or a charity. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. There's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
The Boss Mo Jackson, the Mentos theme brings back so many memories. Dude, every now and then, like, I'll go down the rabbit hole on YouTube. They have all the old commercials on there, including some European versions that I had never seen before from other countries. But I watch a lot of the old ones that used to air here in the States, and that brings back memories. Like, one of the more ridiculous ones was, I think somebody had a job interview to go to. And they, oh, that's what it was. They were sitting on a park bench, or just on a bench outside, getting ready to go in for a job interview. And they realized the bench had wet paint, and they got paint on their suit. And it's like, oh no, I got paint on my suit. Like, what am I going to do? And it's like, they pop a Mentos and they're like, I got it. And they lay on the bench and they kind of roll around on the bench. And now they have a pinstripe suit. And the guy looks at the painter who's, you know, he's off painting another bench. And the painter's like, this guy, like that really corny look on his face. That was one of the more ridiculous ones. We got Nick Grasso. Says, any chance that Jey Uso turns on his team at War Games? Because this Jay Leno storyline has to be going somewhere, if not a heel turn, to become the monster that Roman created. Then I don't know where it goes. Heel Jey Uso? I guess you could do it. There is a story there, though, the monster that Roman created, but then that would build to a WrestleMania match. So what are you doing? Are you building to Roman Reigns against Jey Uso at WrestleMania? I don't want to see that. Brian Keith, Shockmaster is still the most graceful at falling on his ass. Brock doesn't even come close. Davey Boy says he fell on his effing ass. No, he says he fell on his arse. He fell on his arse. Who was it in the background during? It was Sid. It was Sid. You could hear him in the background. I told you. Because I think he said something before the segment. Like, there's like a board on the bottom. He's gonna trip over the fucking board, and he did. He was like, I told you. Wink the Cosmic Grandma. JD McDonough has the best Spanish fly in the biz, or Ray is relieved his neck did not get snapped. He's got a pretty good standing Spanish fly. Sidro, oh, he's here. A limbo dancer married a locksmith. The wedding was low key. He says, yes, I am high. No, I can't believe that. The hell you say? Your fingers have fingertips, but your toes don't have toe tips. Yet you can tiptoe, but not tip finger. It's one of those questions in life. I don't really have a good answer why that is. That is true, though. You cannot tip finger. Bender McSimpson. I always like the idea of current top stars winning mid-card titles. Sting, Flair, Roman, and Cena won the U.S. belt. Seth and Becky won the Intercontinental belt. I mean, hell, I'm sure Sting and Flair and some of those guys were also TV champions at one point. All right? Didn't Arn Anderson, I think, have a run with the TV title? In certain situations, yeah, I mean, it's fine. They have Ric Flair win the Intercontinental title in like 2006. Roddy Piper. What a moment that was. He had never won a championship in WWE before. He won the Intercontinental title in 92. And then they used that as a way for him to put Bret Hart over in the biggest way possible at WrestleMania. See, that's where you can really take a top name winning a mid-card title and use it to your advantage and use it to help elevate somebody in a meaningful way. That might be the best example of it, honestly. Sidro, never seen the movie Frozen. Asked someone to summarize it for me. They looked at me funny and said, well, if I summarize it, then it would be called Melted. My teacher told me not to worry about spelling because in the future there will be autocorrect. And for that, I am eternally grapefruit. Give me backshot Solomon, sir. Enjoy the holiday, Solo. You know I love you. Oh, I could tell by the name. Yeah, I know you love me. I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. No backshots on the Thanksgiving table. MacTub. Gus not guarding Gale before who do you like more and why between peak Cena and Triple H? Peak Cena and peak Triple H? I mean, to me, peak Triple H was 2000. I just think that he was at his best in 2000 into 01 before the first quad injury. And I just think that he and Rock really carried that company in 2000. I think he had some great matches during that year, and I just think he was a really, you know, he was a really good heel. So I'll go with peak Triple H. We got Boris with us. The $5 super chat. Hey, Solo, watching Dominic, I keep wondering why he wouldn't put on some muscle. Is it his in-ring persona that works with this type of build? It does. It works well with this type of build, this chicken shit heel that he plays. You know, some guys just, you know, they're not body guys. You know, they don't want to bulk up too much. You know, Swerve just came back from an injury in AEW. He looks like a fucking monster now. Who's to say that Dom won't bulk up in a few years? Who's to say he won't bulk up when he goes babyface? Yeah, but not everybody is going to have the big physique. You know, because it also affects, you know, your movement in the ring. Maybe he's more comfortable at this weight that he's at. Everyone has their reasons. Super Pony 702, when did we get to the point where every time someone gets injured, people think it's a work? You might say the Rollins thing, but when KO got injured earlier this year, people thought that was a work too. Because people are afraid to be wrong. And I don't know why. Like, they can't be wrong. They can't get me. I can't let them get me. So it's like, I'll just say, oh, it's a work. It's probably a work, right? You're not going to pull the wool over my eyes. It's kind of silly, honestly. But I think that has a lot to do with it. I think people just, they don't want to be gotten. So they just assume everything is a work. So that way, if it turns out to be a work, if it turns out to be storyline, they could be like, oh, I knew all along it was a work. Extreme Man 85, that does remind me, Solo. We did not get a women's match, or we did not see the World Tag Team Champions on the show. Yeah, you know, we didn't get a women's match on Friday either. Not good. We just had somebody in the Super Chats a little while ago proclaim that the women in WWE are far better than the men. And yet, we just had back-to-back shows where we didn't have a single women's match. Jeremy Rose, maybe Solo can get hurt during Survivor Series match on Friday and Phoenix takes the spot. If they wanted a Gunther Penta style match. Well, I mean, they could probably argue that after the fact because Friday's already been taped. But I suppose coming out of SmackDown, they could say, oh, you know, Solo suffered an injury. He's not medically cleared. So Phoenix is going to take his brother's place. It would be kind of unfair, though. I mean, just stick him in there. You could do that. I don't think they're going to, but, I mean, you could do that. Duff's Vids with a 1999. In the hospital for testing to see if I can get on the heart transplant list. Doing good. Glad for my VPN to protect my device on public Wi-Fi. More Jericho countdown sounds during the... I thought this was leading to a joke. Are you seriously in the hospital? I'm so used to him dropping jokes. I thought this was leading to a punchline. Holy shit. Well, that sounds very serious. I hope all goes well. I'm sorry to hear that, brother. Definitely use a VPN, though, if you're going to be on a public Wi-Fi network like that. But he said, more Jericho countdown sounds during the PLE promo. Another return surprise at the end of Survivor Series. I don't see any possibility of Jericho actually appearing. He's still under contract. So there can be no appearances until a certain time. I know you or some people have mentioned the countdown noises, which I haven't noticed. That I can't rule out. It's always possible, but as far as an appearance, that's not going to happen. But again, keep me posted on all that stuff. That sounds scary. Sidro, you missed the funniest part. After the slip, Brock put his hat onto Bron Breakker's head like he was a hat rack. He walked off. He did, you know what? He did put the hat on someone's head. I didn't even notice that it was Bron Breakker.
I have one pair of skinny jeans, and I'm going to wear them every week just to piss you off.
That makes it even better. I didn't even notice that it was Bron Breakker that he put the hat on. Duff's Vids, unless you did this on the podcast, who is starting both War Games matches and the order of who goes into the match for both? Yeah, I didn't do the order. I don't know what the order is going to be. I mentioned Brock because I just don't see him hanging out in the cage, but that means he would have to start. Do we really think Brock is going to start War Games and be in there for 40 minutes? Probably not. So if I had to venture a guess as far as who's starting, on the heel side, I could see Logan Paul starting. Now, you know what? I'm going to say Bronson Reed. I'll say Bronson Reed starts, and we get Cody on the babyface side. Hey guys, Maven here. I bred a bulldog in a Shih Tzu, called it Bullshit. Very good. B-Man the champ. With a 5, Canadian. What if Jimmy gets taken out during the show? Surprise partner is Jacob, who attacks Cody, revealing he was the one who took out Jacob. Well, that would certainly be interesting, wouldn't it? That'd be like when Jade attacked Naomi in the Elimination Chamber earlier this year. But no, I don't think Jacob is going to be medically cleared in time, so I don't see that happening. Interesting idea. The real Vinnie Mac. I predict that they don't do the shark cages this year so everyone can have their grand fucking entrance. Oh, dude, they're going to get their entrance and then they're just going to go in the cage. They're still going to get, that doesn't mean they're not going to get their entrances. Jenny. Is there anyone with less aura than Tala Tonga? Yes. Tonga Loa. And JC Mateo. Base Beerus, God of Seduction. Was Keith Lee supposed to be a main eventer in WWE? He had main event potential. I think a lot of people expected him to eventually be in the main event. Was he called up with the idea of being a main eventer? No. But you could tell, like, they had future plans for him to be. Remember, he wrestled, I think he beat, right, Randy Orton very early on when he got called up. So they didn't call him up with the intention, I think, of immediately, you know, utilizing him in that way. But the idea would have been that, you know, he would eventually get there. And you could even tell from the interaction he had back in 2020 when he was in the Rumble. And he came out and he was working with Brock. There was a Survivor Series. It might have been, I guess maybe it would have been 2019. Remember there was a Survivor Series match? I remember him and Roman, they shared a fist bump at the end of it. There were hints. And again, working with Orton, there were hints that they saw him as a future headline attraction for them. And it's just really, really, it's really, really sad. It just never worked out that way. And then his health failed him. And yeah, it's just, it's too bad. It is one of those what ifs. But then the bear cat thing, like he was done at that point. Once the bear cat thing happened, like that's it. It's over. Checkmate. That's it. Super Pony, favorite Miz match since you love him so much. LOL. What was the one where he was eaten by zombies? There was a match he had for the Intercontinental title in 2016, 17, somewhere around there. It was I want to say No Mercy, but don't quote me on that. It was definitely a pay-per-view match with Dolph Ziggler. That was really, really good. He was also part of a really good four-way that opened WrestleMania 34 for the Intercontinental Championship. That actually might be it. It might be that one. We got bland dry chicken. Instead of blood in war games, WWE should use buckets of dirt and mud in the ring for both matches. That's the PG way to get color. Why don't you just have a buried alive match then? Base Beerus, buy or sell Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm? I love them both, but I mean, Seinfeld is just iconic. I gotta go Seinfeld. Arabian Night, after that backstage segment where Roman looks at both Punk and Cody's belts, got a bad feeling he's winning the Rumble. Can't wait for that build, shaking my head. Who else? Yeah, I mean, you know, the man who's had, what, half a dozen matches the last couple of years is going to go back after the championships. I'm sorry, that doesn't interest me at all. Base Beerus says, Joseph Stewart lightning round. LOL, shout out to Joseph. That's right, shout out to Joseph. The real Vinnie Mac. Brock put his hat on Braun, who looked legit pissed. What's he going to do? What is he going to do about it? He's going to do nothing. That's what he's going to do. But I would imagine, like, in character, yes, Braun Breaker would be pissed if somebody did that to him. Gangle and Clown. The Mentos theme is a banger, but nothing beats the old Corn Nuts Bust the Nut ad campaign. Always makes me think of the Ghostbusters song. It says, you know, Bustin' makes me feel good. As a kid, I didn't think anything of it, but, you know, you get older and things start to make more sense. The real Vinnie Mac, imagine if Cena does get injured and Vince and the president are sat in the crowd watching some NXT jobbers that they've never heard of. Yeah, everything you've just described sounds absolutely awful. The Mount Vernon kid, Christopher Bennett, from the Bennett to yours, happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Hopefully I will see many of you on Wednesday night. Even if you don't watch Dynamite, you'll hang out with me on Thanksgiving Eve. We'll have some fun. But if I don't get to see you again, I do want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. We got some more Super Chat. We're not done yet. Actually, let me... I hate the way YouTube does things here, because all the... Any member chats are in like a different window and they don't show up with the Super Chat, so I gotta go somewhere else and I gotta see if they're here. Sheriff of Patties earlier tonight. 29 months of membership. AJ Styles' recent comments on selling have me asking, what's one thing you think is better these days and one thing other than selling that isn't? I mean, one thing that's better these days would be the schedule. I mean, the schedule, if you go back and look at the schedule in like the 80s into the early 90s in that company, like it was inhumane. So the fact that the schedule, which is still a grind, is a lot easier than it was back then. The rings are not quite as hard as they were back then. They were like the old boxing rings back then. That's why a lot of those guys broke their bodies wrestling. I mean, they're taking bumps on that ring every night. So those are just some of the things that are better now. You know, the wellness program and having certain, you know, protocols in place that didn't exist back in the day. So as far as wrestler health and safety, there's a lot of things that are better about wrestling or about the way the company operates now as compared to how it would have been 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. And I mean, other than selling, I mean, things that are, I mean, there's any number of things that were better back then. I just think promos were better back then. A lot of people don't know how to cut a promo now. And I don't mean like going in front of a camera and talking into the camera, right? Or remembering what it is that maybe was scripted for you. That's fine. Like anybody can do that. And you may be good at it, you may be bad at it, but promos now, as compared to how promos used to be, are fucking terrible. Like, my God. Promos now are awful compared to how... Go back and watch wrestling, and it doesn't just have to be WWE, but go back and watch wrestling all those years ago. Promos, I don't know what happened somewhere along the way. Promos are not what they used to be. Since it was in the news, right? Bret Hart was talking about it, throwing a punch, right? People don't know how to throw a punch. He's 100% right about that. I don't know why he had to single out Sheamus in his criticism, but, you know, he has no filter. He just says what's on his mind. I mean, he had the comments about Seth Rollins being unsafe to work with years ago that I'm sure broke Seth's heart, because I think Bret was one of his favorites. You know, Bret just... There's no filter. He'll just say how he honestly feels. But Sheamus is not the first person I would think of. There's a lot of people who don't know how to throw a punch, like a worked punch that looks good and looks realistic. They don't know how to do it anymore. I don't know if they just don't teach it. I don't know. I don't know why it's so different now. It's so much worse compared to how it used to be, but it is. These shows like SmackDown coming up soon, having to be 3 hours. Awful. Awful. No show should be 3 hours week to week. There's a lot of things that were better then as compared to now. And it goes both ways. Did you see that Logan Paul had his promo written on his hand on SmackDown? Yes, I did. He had crib notes. He had crib notes on his hand on SmackDown. Let me see here. We got VC with a member chat, 42 months. I believe that's Ragnarok. Brother Solo, all these damn might need to use that code of yours. All the ads on Raw. I tell you, man, expressvpn.com/Solomonster. You got to sign up for the full year and pay for it, but you get 4 extra months free. I'm using it every week at this point. I use it for Raw. I don't use it for Dynamite because Maybe I should, but I use HBO Max when I watch. I don't think it works the same way with that, where you can watch through the match the way you can with Raw and SmackDown. So I don't use it on Wednesdays generally, but I use it on Mondays and Fridays. I use it for security and privacy reasons as well, especially when I'm traveling. So I endorse it 100%. Dev to Dust, 44 months of channel membership. Buy, sell, or rent on the best game winner in sports. Walk-off home run, buzzer beater, three-point shot, or game-winning touchdown. I mean, they're all exciting, but me personally, it's the walk-off home run. I'm a baseball guy. So for me, it's the walk-off home run. You didn't say the goal, the goal in the closing seconds of the hockey game. Let me make sure there's no other member chats. All right, let's get back to the super chats here. We got a bunch more that came in. Arabian Knight, LA hasn't been on Raw since he held up that sign. Yeah, he probably pissed off the wrong people with that one. Wink the Cosmic Grandma. When it's all said and done, do you see any current WWE guys not in their late 30s and 40s ending up in a Mount Rushmore or GOAT debate? I don't, and that's the problem. Mount Rushmore. I mean, there are people that I think will consider Roman Reigns because they relied on him in that top spot for so many years, and because business boomed during the Bloodline period and the Bloodline story. So, you know, Roman is not on my Mount Rushmore, and I don't think he ever will be. But for some people, you will have them placing Roman Reigns in that Mount Rushmore conversation. Cody, I don't see it. I don't see it with Cody. I don't see it with Brock. I don't see it with Drew, Randy. So, yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot of names that I see people really including in that debate. We have Linkmaster X. The seed has been planted for Brock against Braun. I got to go back now and check out this hat rack part of the segment. Extreme Man 85, Solo, I have a joke for you. The gym instructor asked me, can you do the splits? And the instructor said, how flexible are you? And I said, I can't make Tuesdays. Not bad. You keep working at it. Not bad, though. The Mount Vernon kid, I would have laughed my ass off if after Roman said, that belt looks better on me, CM Punk said, change your contract to full-time instead of part-time. Yeah, I don't have any interest in another Roman Reigns title run. Especially if he's got a severely part-time schedule, just like Brock or any of these guys, Logan, like I have no interest in it. I'm done with the part-time bullshit with, putting titles on people and then they don't show up. Like, there's nothing fun about that. It makes the shows just unbelievably boring. I don't want to see that. William Valencia, all I know is Brett was not talking about Shane McMahon's punches. In fairness, I don't know that Brett ever saw Shane McMahon throw a punch. You think he was watching the product at that time? And Duff's Vids, HBO Max with ads on sale, $2.99 a month for a year until December 1st. So there you go. From Duff's Vids, if you want HBO Max with ads at a discounted price. Yeah, you got to keep your eye out because this week into the beginning of next week, you got these Black Friday deals, Cyber Monday. So if you're looking to buy something, I got a bunch of Macy's keep sending me these coupons. They really want me to buy shit on Macy's.com. I got a good puffer jacket from there a few years ago. Like a $250 Calvin Klein puffer coat. I got it for like $75. Man, I wore the thing out of that until the fucking feathers started coming out of it. But this is the time. You got to keep your eyes peeled and look out for those deals. Hey, look, I've mentioned to you Audible. I may as well mention it here. I mean, if you look at the description down below, you'll see all the sponsor links, but there's also the Audible link is in there. Audibletrial.com/Solomonster. Bret Hart's book just hit Audible in audio form. He narrates it. You can get the Bret book, Gorilla Monsoon. There's a book on his life and career that's coming out December 2nd in audio form. You can pre-order it for free right now if you use my link. I've bought the Kindle version of it. I'm about to start it. So I'm interested in getting into it, but take advantage of that too. If you want a free book. Free book on me. Super Pony, Miz against Giant Gonzalez. Man, we missed out. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. Arabian Night, shaking my head. Who else thought? Who else, though, but Roman or Randy winning the Royal Rumble? At one point, I was thinking Sami Zayn, but man, they have gotten completely away from that story about him wanting to win the big one and wanting to win the world championship. So I don't see it. I don't see it. But yeah, I mean, there aren't a lot of great options right now. Extreme Man 85, I have a new nickname for Cody. He is now the American NyQuil. What do you think? No, he doesn't bore me. I mean, he had a great promo on Friday. There are times he'll come out and he'll cut a very kind of milquetoast, you know, babyface promo that sounds a little too up his own ass. You know, we're a little too corporate and not very interesting. Friday was one of the better promos, frankly, I think that he has cut all year. And it was like 2 minutes, but, you know, he went down the line talking about each member of the War Games match on the heel side. He had all this fire, you know, in his belly. And it's just a great fiery babyface promo heading into War Games. Honestly, that would have been a great, like, final sell for War Games. But then they had another week to go of TV. To me, that was like the perfect go-home promo. Your thoughts on CMLL having over 38 current active championships as of now? I think that's very stupid, but I don't watch CMLL, so it doesn't bother me. If WWE or AEW had over 38 active, actually at this point, I'd be shocked if AEW doesn't end up with 38 active championships. Then I would tell you how stupid it is. Hey, Dark One, what's up, man? What's going on, Dark One? I got Darkwing Duck over here. Zombified guitarist. Just watch Red versus Nemeth at Super Clash. Great to hear your call. That senton out of the ring by Red was great. Dude, that's become a staple of his matches. So I called that match, not this past weekend, but the previous Saturday. And almost lost my voice calling that show. And then 6 days later, I flew to Chicago and called the Chicago show this past Friday. And Red wrestled on that show against Tyler Breeze. And he did it again. And he landed in like the third row. And it never gets old. It's just insane to see him flying around the ring like that. And then just with reckless abandon, just launching himself out of the ring into the crowd. So twice in 1 week, I got to call that spot. And it never gets old. Super Pony, Triple H saw Sammy having great matches every week with the U.S. title and said, nope, he doesn't deserve a world title run. Sad. I think he'll get it at some point, but I couldn't tell you when. It just seemed like things maybe were setting up for it for next year, but now it doesn't feel like that at all. It's like the trail has gone cold, right? Looking for the killer, the trail has gone cold. All right, we are currently sitting at 482 likes. So since you hit the goal, that means we got to be the booker. So let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Why is every season Riyadh season? Why is every season every PLE sponsored by Riyadh season? Because they got a lot of money to burn. That's why. All right, here we go. And we are starting Be the Booker with a stipulation. What is this, AEW? Choose two single stars to form a makeshift team. Oh boy, we get to form a makeshift team here and Be the Booker. Look at this. We get to form a brand new tag team. This could be anybody. This could be anybody. We have the bad guy, Razor Ramon. You talk about aura. People talk about aura, aura farming. Look at the aura on this guy. This is aura. Razor Ramon and, oh my God, are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? That did not just happen. We land on Scott Hall and we land on Kevin Nash. I mean, it's too perfect. It's too perfect. We had to form a makeshift team. We have like 200 names in this thing. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. I'll tell you what. I don't know who they're wrestling, but it doesn't matter. We already know who's winning the match. We know this is getting a bell. Like I can't believe that just happened. I cannot believe that just happened. Okay, now, ordinarily I would give this a buzzer, but I can't. I can't give this a buzzer, man. We landed on Scott Hall and Kevin Nash as a makeshift tag team. So they're just going to go in there and they're going to demolish the best friends. Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta. Sorry, guys. You're eating a razor's edge and you're eating a jackknife. Thanks for coming. A makeshift team, yes, and we land on we get the outsiders. It was just meant to be. 2-minute squash. In and out. They got the beer on ice in the locker room. All right, women's Be the Booker. We have the former NXT Women's Champion, Roxanne Perez. We got a lot of Roxanne Perez fans in the chat. I know that. Roxy. Let's get a drum roll going. Roxanne Perez against Queen Zelina. Yeah, give him 12 minutes, let him go out there and just let it all hang out. See what they could do. See what they could come up with. Why not? I mean, they couldn't be bothered to have any women's matches in the last two shows. So you can surely give them some time here. All right, now it's main event time. We have Sabu. Look at this. He's ready for... He would have fit in perfectly at Full Gear the other day. Look at this. He's got the nail in his mouth. He's got the chair wrapped in barbed wire. What is that? I called it a nail. What is that in his mouth? That looks like a giant spike. Sabu, man. He would have thrived in Blood and Guts. What a match. We have Sabu against Sabu. Oh boy, you talk about blood. You thought you had an overload of blood at Full Gear the other day? Wait until you see Sabu against Sabu. I got to pick a stipulation now. How can I not? We have to pick a stipulation for Sabu against Sabu. What is going on here? It'd be the booker today. I don't know what the hell's going on. There's something in the water. Sabu against Sabu, anarchy in the arena. There will be blood. Blood will be spilled. Oh, that's a sweep. A little delay there. I forgot that was a sweep. We got a clean sweep. They're going to have to slap a warning, though, like an advisory on that match. It might be too extreme for some audiences. Sabu against Sabu would fucking rule. It would be something. It would be an all-timer. It would be an all-timer. Drew McIncock is with us. 33 months of membership. The Four Horsemen of No Aura. Tala Tonga, Tongaloa, JC Mateo, and Tamina. Yeah, I mean, if there was such a thing as negative aura, then there it is right there. We should do a list of all the people that have negative aura. And more is with us. What are we thinking about the Continental Classic lineup? I have not yet gone through the entire lineup. I know that during Raw, I guess, they announce what the participants are going to be in the Blue League and the Gold League. I know that Takeshita is in one league. I think Moxley is in that league. And then Okada is in the other league. And I know Darby is in there. But I didn't go through all of it. So I was curious, though, to see who the name was going to be. And I would know just by looking at it from the list. Who the name is going to be that's going to end up eating a lot of pins. And it looks like Mascara Dorada is probably going to be that guy. There's no Juice Robinson this year. There's no Beast Mortos, Jay Lethal. Like, there's always someone, at least one, in this tournament who's always eating the pins. And from the looks of it, I think Mascara Dorada is probably going to be that person. But I will talk more about the Continental Classic lineup on the Dynamite review on Wednesday. We'll hang out there and talk about the participants there. Once I have the full list in front of me. Bobby Means with a 5. In my opinion, Raven and Tommy Dreamer had the best rivalry in ECW for the simple fact that Dreamer never beat Raven for 3 years. I mean, I think it's pretty widely regarded as one of the greatest rivalries in ECW history. So I don't think it's not like a hot take or anything like that. I would tend to agree. But yeah, I don't believe Kyle O'Reilly is in there, right? I mean, Tony Khan said the other day in the post-show scrum that O'Reilly was likely not going to be in there. He had some injuries coming out of the match with Jon Moxley at Full Gear. I know Roderick Strong is in there, though. So I know Roddy is in there. Negative aura Four Horsemen. Wheeler Yuta, Tongaloa, Daniel Garcia, and JC Mateo. Oh my God. What a group. WWF Run DMC. Wheeler Yuta versus JC Mateo would be a dream match. Sure, it'd be a horrible dream. I'd wake up in a cold sweat from that dream. Anyway, I will see you guys back here live again on Wednesday night. That will be for the Dynamite post show Thanksgiving Eve. But before then, we have Tuesday Night Titans over on JD's channel tomorrow night. We'll have a lot to talk about there in terms of Full Gear and Survivor Series and whatever else is going on. And then back here on Thanksgiving Eve. I do want to take this time to just wish everybody, as I will, I'll mention this on Wednesday, but wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving later this week. I am thankful, as always, for all of you. And go back and check out episode 939, one of the longer sound-offs in a while, well over 2 hours. So if you missed the podcast, we were number 2 on Apple Podcasts for wrestling podcasts on all of Apple podcasts in the entire country. Number 2. One of these days, you guys are going to help get me to number 1. So be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great night, And I will see you back here for the Dynamite post show on Wednesday night, post Full Gear. Until then, take care, guys.